Welcome to episode 41 of season 9 of Move Around Minute, the Daily Podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the final two Die Hard movies, Die Hard 4 and 5, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again to finish off her stint and get released from having to watch any more episodes of this after today is Heather Baxendale of Word of Hellmouth. Welcome back to the show, Heather.
Thank you for having me back. It's not as bad. It's not too bad. It's not great, but it's not so bad. I know you have other opinions. You also have to go through the whole entire movie and break it apart and
the good thing is I only have 6 more segments after today. So, you know, I'm almost done.
You know. You are. You're close.
6 more segments means I got another less than 30 minutes. I've
finished 20, line
25 minutes and then the final episode with Jay, which is like a minute and 38 seconds or something like that. So, you know, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Does Jay always finish do the last episode with you?
Yes. Jay gets the first week and the final episode. That was our deal 9 seasons ago.
And oh my gosh.
I hold to it. You know, he's already getting ready to record the first 5 episodes of 10. So we're good. We're good.
Love it. Love it.
All right. So episode 41 begins with Jack responding to John's emotional request or his emotional outburst, I guess you can say. And ends with the father-son team looking for the bad guys.
Yeah, I would call it emotional diarrhea.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because, and I'm not blaming Bruce here, and I'm not blaming Mr. Courtney here either, but it was, I think we left off the last episode saying, you know, this might have worked at a different time in the story, or maybe not all of these things coming at once. It just felt like they were throwing spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah. And most of it doesn't stick. That's the problem.
No, most of it doesn't.
You know, if only it worked, or if only it came close to being work.
If they would have spent more time on developing the relationship, the story's not even bad. It's not the whole concept of the story works. I mean, it's there's nothing unique about it, but the story works. It's 100% the effort that was put into making it. It was. Slapped. It was very much so what I would think is like the Ian Malcolm thing. They slapped it, they put it together, and then they're selling it before they even know what they had. It definitely feels like that.
Ian Malcolm works a little better because Jeff Goldblum is it just always brings it. It doesn't matter where you put him. You know, you can bring him to you can bring Ian Malcolm into the 50th Jurassic Park movie, and he still will get the great lines of Ian Malcolm, even if he just shows up for 2 seconds.
Yes, yes, yes. I will watch anything with Jeff Goldblum in it anyway, but I will absolutely watch even bad Jurassic Park movies or Jurassic World movies with Ian Malcolm because he makes everything great.
Exactly.
Everything. So good.
Yeah. I mean, come on. He's one of the things that made... Thor Ragnarok, such a fun movie.
My gosh, I know. That movie is so wonderful. People that don't want to get into the Marvelverse because there's so much and it's overwhelming. But you can watch that movie as a standalone and enjoy the crap out of it. I think it's the most, that or arguably like Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, are the two most fun Marvel movies. I love them. I love them both.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that one. I wasn't a fan of any of the Thor movies until that one came out. And then I was like, oh, wow, they did that one so well.
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum was a big reason for it. Big reason. He was great.
Well, I got to say that Chris Hemsley was able to show that he does have a less serious side also and was able to make his character even more fun with
the Joker. He has range as an actor.
Yeah, the jokes landed there.
Yeah, it's just him as Thor. He, in general, kind of gets... And Thor is one of my is one of my favorite Marvel characters. But they do kind of have him on autopilot with most of his jokes. And in that movie, there was a whole nother side of him. He went on like a real emotional journey, like they should be going through in this movie. Like you care, and you can feel his pain and his struggle in it, even though you're having a really good time.
Yes. It's true. It's definitely true. Okay, so at the end of yesterday's episode, John says, I love you, boy. Or I love you, kid. What did he say? I love you. John says,
I
I
love
love
you,
you,
my
boy.
boy.
No,
I
he
love
says,
you,
I
boy.
love you,
Oh.
boy. I
Okay.
love you, boy. Which thankfully is not being taken out of context. Because that would sound really, really weird. And as we sort of mentioned yesterday, the proper response that Jack should have given him at this point was, "You too, Dad." But
Yeah.
instead, he just says, "You too," and that's it. He just wants to talk
Yep.
about music. That's it.
Yeah.
Hold me, throw
It's
me, kill me, whatever it is.
No.
What's that song?
Hold me, throw me, kill me. That's a U2 song,
I
right?
know, but is that I'm just saying, is that the right order from the it's
Oh.
a YouTube song. It was a theme for Batman Forever.
Batman Forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you got it.
But yeah, I expected them to give us a little more closure with this camera, with this bond between the two of them.
Me too. Me too. And I don't feel it.
No.
Which kind of sucks because up to this point, I think we were starting to. I think we were actually able to kind of feel like there was this like forgiveness almost of the past. I think you said it, like a fresh start was coming for the two of them. And we definitely have a disconnect here, but it's because they're throwing so many things all at once too, and it's without intention. It's just there. It's like, okay, this was on the script and we're going to read it and we are not going to consider that it might have better implications. Okay, I'm a writer. I'm not suggesting that I am a brilliant writer and should be writing movie scripts or anything like that, but I know enough as a viewer of movies and reader of books that if dialogue or something doesn't work in a particular scene or in a moment, you can take it and move it somewhere else or not include it.
Right.
There is editing and many things you can try. And I just feel like this, okay, perfect. This feels like it's first draft.
Yeah.
It feels like first
Unfortunately.
draft.
Yeah.
A lot of this feels first draft. Yeah. So it was okay, this is on the paper, we'll deliver it. And they're like, okay, well, it's not bad, so we'll just leave it.
Right. And then John's response is, he doesn't even John doesn't expect him to say "you too, Dad." He just says, he responds to him and says, "I want you to know I got your back." And he goes, "Well, I got yours too." Maybe that's like the macho way of saying "I love you too, Dad." I don't know.
In some cases, I see that, and I think we talked about that in a little bit in the last episode too, is that you do see those kinds of conversations between characters, but there's nothing established up to this point that makes me feel like that was what they were saying to each other. Maybe that was the intention, but that's not how I felt.
Right, especially with John's response. He's, "All right, let's go kill some mother."
Yeah.
Okay.
And that would have been a great line if they did have like a real true emotional moment before them. Even if they said the let's go kick some ass together, and it was like kind of like maybe they had a moment where their eyes met and they were just like, yep, dad, and then let's go kick these. Yeah, then it works. But there wasn't that. It was just lines.
Yeah.
But I do want to go see them kick ass, so I stay invested regardless.
Yeah, that's true. And then he takes time to close the trunk, and then we see someone drilling into the vault, trying to open up the what was it, 475, I think was the number of the
Four four 75 or 495, one of
No,
those
I think
two.
it's 475, and they're able to open it up, and they open it up, and inside is a keyhole, which can let's open a mailbox, and inside the mailbox we have it's what's it, the babushkas. You take one and then there's another one inside, and you open that one and there's another one inside.
Yes. Oh my
You
goodness.
know, or like when you want to be mean to somebody and you give them a huge box present and they open up the box and there's another box inside. And then they open that and there's another box inside that one. And then all the, in
My
the end,
husband does
there's a
that.
tiny little box.
My husband
With
does that. He's done it with a giant TV box, and then he just started putting smaller ones and smaller ones. I think at the end of it was a gift card, and he did it for our oldest son for
That's really
Christmas
funny.
years ago.
That's
It
really
was by the end of it, because he had done so many, our son was quite aggravated, which of course incited us to more laughter. But I believe it was a very generous gift card, at least.
funny. Not enough to buy a TV with, but yeah.
No.
That's right. And you know, so what a surprise. There's another lock. And then they look inside the lock and they turn around and you know then they go, "Key." That's great. That's all I need. Just give me the key. And then they hand him this it looks like a parchment or a cloth that is filled with something, you know, and they have to you know, carefully open it, and they open it, and he pulls out this strange looking key, which I don't exactly know what it is.
No,
You know, and then
it's.
they push a button and it like pops up. Like, what the hell? What, you
It.
know, that's the type of strange key that they would have had in Chernobyl in 1987. You know,
I don't think so. That's the thing. I don't think so. There's no explanation for
it
it.
looks more futuristic.
It's assuming the audience is too stupid to notice that this stuff doesn't make any sense.
Completely.
looks cool, so we're not going to think about it.
That's right.
Except that we're here for a Die Hard movie, so we're expecting it to make sense.
That's right.
Oops, my bad.
And
With
then
expectations.
the shot changes and we see you know John and Jack stumbling through the area trying to figure out what's going on. You know, you see like someone walking in the shadows behind them, which is very strange. Oh wait, you know what?
Oh, I see what you're talking about. That's really weird.
Yeah, it looks very strange. I don't know. And the two of them just keep walking through silently. You know, not much happens. We just see that they're getting closer. That's I guess the point here, to make sure that we know that John and Jack are getting a little closer to everything going on.
And we know
And
that
they,
they're locked and loaded at this point, at
that's
least.
right. And we see them you know just looking back behind them, looking in front and trying to figure out where they're going and doing the next thing. Again, they spend so much time with the two of them walking here. It
Yeah.
you know and again this is the cut that we're talking about in this movie is the director's cut, which is 3 minutes longer than the theatrical cut. And you'd think that the idea of the director's cut is to make things a little more succinct. And
Yeah.
he doesn't do that here.
No, you think
You know,
with most
John
of the time
Moore,
with director's cuts.
what did you do here? You were given the perfect opportunity. You were given a Die Hard movie. I know that the script wasn't amazing, but you had control to edit this and make this a little stronger, you know, in this version. And I'm sorry, but I can't say that you did it. You know,
No, like you said,
I
the whole point
admire
of a
and respect
director's
you that
cut.
you're able to do this, but still, you know, I could never do this, but I still can have you know my complaints about
Well, that's because we know what good storytelling is. We've watched, and it's like I said, as a writer, I know that I'm not a top-tier writer, but I understand what it takes to be a good writer. It's something I strive to do, and I try to do better all the time and learn more. But we know enough about storytelling from having watched it. We are experts on storytelling. We have
That's
watched
right.
thousands and thousands and thousands of movies. Our opinions are that they're opinions, but we also know enough to say, this is kind of silly. Like, what are you doing? Like you said, this is a director's cut. You want to leave your mark if you're doing a director's cut. Otherwise, what's the point? If
That's
you're
right.
going to show me a couple extra scenes of people walking, you're just adding minutes to a movie that probably shouldn't be even been made a movie.
That's right. Exactly. I am having an effect on you. I can hear that.
Because intention matters. And that actually irritates me more than anything else. So I did not realize that you were referring to a director's cut. And if there was a director's cut, why? Why? Yeah, if it made the movie better, then sure, I'd understand it. Like you said, if there was some more background on
Right. The main thing they did
anything.
in the director's cut is cut out Lucy. That's what they did. You know, but besides that, they didn't do much.
That's a waste.
Lucy had two scenes. One where we see her and one where we just hear her. And that's it. And other than that, you know, I haven't really been able to find that many discrepancies here. You know, but maybe this is one of them where, you know, where he's walking a little longer. Or maybe he actually cut it, you know, from what the theatrical version had of how much he was walking. I don't know. But then we're back in the vault, and we see they're still trying to get this key into the slot. And they show us from a strange angle, and then they finally get the key in, and they put it in nice and slowly, and they turn the key. You know, again, nice and slowly. And then after turning the key, he actually twists part of it and pushes it in. Which,
yes.
Again, it's a cool effect, but it just doesn't work here based on the way that they keep turning the camera to different angles.
It's all kind of weird.
Because we see, you know, he's pushing the key in at a 90-degree angle, and then the shot changes, and it looks as if he's pushing the key down into something. You know, which is very strange.
They have all sorts of cool gadgets. They have all sorts of cool lighting. Like the scene after the vault opens up and they're standing there, it has like this whole Aliens vibe to it almost, with the blues and the dark. I like all of that. I love sequences like this normally. I'm excited when we have to figure out how to get into some space and we
Yeah,
have to.
I was thinking this is like an Indiana Jones type of scene, you know?
Yeah,
Where,
yeah.
you
I
know, where
am
you have this
usually
key
all
and
about this.
this key is 20, let's see, the key is, was it 25 years? 25, 26 years. So, you know, finally opens up this vault. Ooh. And it's very cool though, because you don't expect the entire wall to open up the way that it does, and it I love it. Unfortunately, they just don't manage to sell it. You know,
No,
that's the thing. Because then you know, we see
there's
all the
no
bad
sense
guys
of
like shining
urgency.
their flashlights and trying to figure out what it is, and then Alec says, "Okay, what the fuck is this?" He goes, "I'm losing my patience. The file better be here." And then Yuri says to him, "Radiation has been pooling in this room for decades." And then Irina laughs and goes, "You've underestimated us, Daddy Dearest." And she goes, "Bring it in." Now, I love she calls him Daddy Dearest.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever heard that phrase before?
I've heard Mommy Dearest because
Okay.
I've seen that movie, but
And what is Mommy Dearest? We'll go with that first.
God, why can't I think of the name of the damn movie right now? But I watched it all the
No,
time when I was a
the name
kid.
of the movie is Mommy Dearest.
It is Mommy Dearest. Okay. Yeah. It's with an abusive mother. It's in
Yeah,
reference to an
it's all
abusive.
about Joan Crawford, the
Yes.
daughter of Joan Crawford. You know, talks about how cruel her mother was. You know, unbalanced and always a drunk and stuff like that. About how she treated them and their servants and all that stuff. It's you know, it's I don't remember who said it, but I remember there was, I don't know if it was in a movie or maybe it was one of my siblings that once like called someone, called maybe my mother or some other mother, you know, Mommy Dearest, and they did not like it because it was somewhat of a curse, I guess you can say, by calling someone something like that, because it's showing that you were really bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a best-selling book in 1978, and then it was eventually made into a movie.
No wire hangers.
That's right, very good.
My mom made me watch it a lot. She would tell me to watch it because it would make me realize that she wasn't a bad mother. She wasn't exactly setting standards particularly high. The bar was dropped.
Interesting.
But yeah, I've watched it a lot when I was really little. I watched it a lot, actually. And as I got older, I did not want to watch it anymore.
Right. I'm trying to think of the who's the actress that played her in the movie right
And
now.
Mommy Dearest? Oh, it was someone.
Catherine, no, it wasn't Catherine
No,
Hepburn.
it was Faye Dunaway. It was Faye Dunaway.
Faye Dunaway, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I thought it was. I wasn't sure. I'm like, Nope, it was Faye Dunaway.
Yeah, it was Faye. It was Faye Dunaway. Yeah. I actually saw it a few years ago. It was okay. I didn't think it was amazing.
I don't think I
Maybe.
want to see it again. So
Yeah,
you telling me
yeah.
that makes me go, no, I don't need to revisit it. I think I got everything I needed
Now,
out of
the
it.
funny thing is I said, okay, I've heard Daddy Dearest also. So I looked that up. And did you know that there was a sitcom in the 90s called Daddy Dearest, starring Richard Lewis and Don Rickles?
That actually sounds familiar. My
Yeah,
mom loved Don Rickles. My mom loved Don Rickles.
they only made 11 episodes of it. It's about it was a TV show that was on Fox. It's about a guy who is a psychologist who lives with his young son, and his father moves in, and his father is played by Don Rickles. You know, it's Richard Lewis and then Don Rickles. I actually found the pilot episode on YouTube and watched it today.
How was it?
It wasn't that great, but again, it had a lot of really funny lines from Don Rickles because of the way that he just insults the other characters.
I remember this. Okay, I remember this. First of all, Richard Lewis is a delight, but I remember this. I think I actually watched this with my mom.
Okay, could
I
be.
think I did.
So yeah,
But I've got
it was.
nothing specific to bring to you because I didn't remember it until I saw the I just looked it up and saw the cover for it. I'm pretty sure maybe I didn't watch it, maybe my mom watched it, but I think it was on. She liked Richard Lewis and Don Rickles. She loved Don Rickles.
I'm a big Don Rickles fan. I
Don
love the way
Rickles
that
hilarious. Yeah. I feel like comedy.
the original insult comic. So for sure,
Yeah,
he
absolutely.
was great at that. So yeah, so it's interesting that Irina calls him Daddy Dearest, you know. So.
So he's a real son of a bitch.
Pretty much. Or at least that's what she says. We'll have to
Yes.
see later in the week what really happens with that, but yeah. And then you know they it's like dun 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 after they say that, because then the camera, you know, widens and gives us a larger shot of the dark room that you can't see anything that's going on inside of it. Which is
That
very funny.
happens a
You
lot
know?
in this. The darkness is a real problem in this.
Yeah. Like on the one hand they say, okay, you know, we gotta get all the radiation out of here. So it makes sense that they're not gonna be running into the room. You know, they have to let it air out, I guess you can say. But on the other hand, the way that they just keep everything completely dark is just really weird.
Yeah.
And then you know, we see that they do something. We don't know what it is, and she's holding a something that's testing the radiation, and we see that the radiation levels are going up really high, you know, and she knows that we're dealing with heavy radiation, which again we already knew.
Yes.
And you know, the flashlights shine on all the different crates that are in there, and then the next thing we see a helicopter bringing in a tanker that is going to be used for something. I
I'm
don't know what.
assuming putting uranium.
Maybe.
I
And
mean,
then right. And we'll find out shortly. And then John
yes.
and Jack continue their search of the premises to try and find you know, try and find the bad guys. They don't know where they are. You know, it's funny that the two of them don't think about the fact that they should have also maybe stolen or gone through the other car's trunks at the nightclub looking for hazmat suits. You know,
Because
you're going to
why not?
Chernobyl.
Also, I think part of the problem with the scene too, I feel like that there's no actual tension, is, and you were pointing it out earlier too, it's kind of location sensitive. I don't have a clue where they are in relation to the team that just broke into the radioactive area. No idea. Like, I have no clue if they're in the same building. Chernobyl's not small. I have no idea if they are anywhere near them whatsoever. I know that the one group has hazmat suits on and John and Jack don't. So my mind's telling me they're nowhere near each other and the element of danger is low. So I'm not worried
I
watching
actually
this.
don't believe that.
I'm not worried watching it because I don't think they're anywhere near them. I'm like, okay, that's a real problem. And it's not one that's difficult to solve either.
Well, it also makes you wonder, how did they get past all the guards at the front door if they're in the
Yep.
same building?
There's just so many things. And we should not have so many questions that we ask. And then the worst part is they don't get answered. I am totally okay if I have a question and it's a really obvious thing that there's a hole in the story. And then 2 seconds later, one of the characters ask the question and the other one gives a bullshit answer because they were at least acknowledging that there is a hole in the story here. And we are going to give you an answer as the viewer because we understand that you need to know this, even if our response is a little bit small, is a little bit silly or whatever it is. At least then the problem has been acknowledged. I appreciate that. And that
But
will
not
also keep me in the scene, not this.
And then we see the tanker actually land on the ground, and it has some numbers on it. I mean, like, it's 0135 number sign, pound sign 27-4. That's what they tell us. And then the helicopter leaves after it, and then we see tanks and guys running. I mean, they have a lot of people that are showing up for this whole thing. Again, I don't know how John and Jack got past them.
Yeah.
And then John and Jack are back inside, and they get surprised, or they surprise one of the bad guys who's in this like ski mask that makes him look like a black Jason instead of because Jason's hockey mask is all white, but it looks here the same thing, just all black. And then John shoots him, and then another guy shows up and Jack shoots him. And John goes, attaboy.
It's the strangest parental bonding.
Yeah, completely. Now, do you know the official term for a ski mask?
Baklava?
That's right.
Yeah.
Or it's a balaclava, I think it is. I think that's how you pronounce
Balaklava. And baklava, I think, is like a dessert.
Yeah,
But
something like that.
I know what it is. Yeah.
Right.
I
Do you
have
know
one.
where the name came from?
I'm assuming it's Russian, but I don't know its origin. No.
So in 1854, during the Crimean War, there was the Battle of Balaclava, and it's a town that's in Crimea itself. And the British troops, because it was so cold, wore knitted headgear in order to keep warm.
It
And
works.
yeah,
They're
it works.
great.
I mean, it works in action movies more because then they can reuse the stuntmen. I think
Yes.
that's more the idea here.
Yes.
So it's funny watching the way that they have them do this. In South Asia, they have a nickname for them, and they're called monkey caps.
Why?
Because they blot out most human facial features.
Oh. Okay. Well,
And sometimes they have like a little pom pom on the top. Interesting.
yeah. We don't see them with the pom-poms when they're playing assassins or
No,
villainous
no.
henchmen and such.
That's
That
right.
might downplay some of the threat level that we're observing. I do like Jai Courtney as an action guy though. He has, I think it I feel like if he would have come out in the 90s, he probably would have had a better opportunity at being
Well,
an action star.
he would have been really young.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he was the age he was then, yeah, moving it there then.
That's right. Because I mean, again,
Also,
We know that Jack was born in 85. I wonder when Jai Courtney was born. Probably around the same time. That would be my guess.
I think so. I think he's close to my age, I think. But I
He was
do, I
born in
like
86.
him.
He was born on March 15th, 86.
Oh, he's younger than me. How cute. So yeah, he definitely wouldn't have been an action star in the 90s, but I liked him, and I think that he does well in these action roles, and I think that he kind of unfortunately ended up in a bunch that didn't do much for him or his career. Not that he's not acting or doing anything still, but yeah.
Is he still acting? Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah, I think he was in one of the in
He
the
was in American Primeval this year. It's a TV show and another show called or a movie called Dangerous Animals.
I don't
Those
know
are the
about
two things
that.
that he was in 2025.
I think he was in Suicide Squad too, I think. But I think he played a character that had a mask or something. I think he was the alligator guy.
No, the
I
alligator
the croc,
was
croc, the croc,
no,
yeah, or whatever. That wasn't him.
that was Sylvester Stallone.
No, oh no, that he was a shark, right? Now I
Oh,
need
that's
to
right. He
know.
was a, oh, you're right. I'm sorry, you're right. Sylvester Stallone was a shark, so it couldn't have been him. That's right. In Suicide Squad, he was Captain Boomerang. That's who he was.
Okay, thank you. But he was in it. I remember that he was in it.
Yes.
And that's the last thing
I
I
did
remember
not.
seeing him in, so.
Oh, he was also in Kaleidoscope. That was an interesting miniseries. It was a miniseries about a heist where it doesn't matter in what order you watch the episodes, as long as there's like the one you have to watch at the beginning and the one you have to watch at the end. All the other episodes are interchangeable. And
That's
it's
really
very cool.
cool.
Yeah, it's a very cool idea. And each of them takes place at a different time point, in the life of the characters or in the life of the story and stuff like that. So it's very cool.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Oh yeah, he was in Alita Battle Angel too, and I think he played again. I think he played like a villainous type, and I think he had a mask. Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of that he had a mask in, but. But yeah, he hasn't done anything particularly significant. He's still out there acting, but I think he has the chops to be a good action star. He can play the bad guy too. He's a good bad guy.
Sure. And then the scene changes, and we're back with the bad guys, setting things up, and we have a guy holding two lightsabers. He must be from the dark side because they're red, directing traffic.
He's a Sith warrior.
There you go. And then a guy in a hazmat suit runs by and goes, "Come on, come on."
Yeah, all of this feels like really rushed, and you keep pointing out the that they're showing the numbers on all of these vehicles That's cool. Show me, but why are you showing me? Because people like you and I, we're gonna go, does this have some relevance later? Should I? And not just because we're doing a movie by the 5 minute. Because stuff like that, if you're gonna draw attention to a number or something, my mind immediately says I should be taking note. This is gonna come up later. Pattern recognition is one of the things that I typically do really well. So when it doesn't pan out and it was just, I'm just gonna focus on these numbers arbitrarily, that kind of annoys me.
Yeah, I agree. I
You've
definitely
taken
agree.
up headspace that I could have been thinking about something much better.
And then they show us that these guys go inside the vault and they're getting set up, and then we see that they're spraying something
Yeah.
all around. And then we hear Irina say, "Compound 27-4, it neutralizes radiation. Trust me." So again, from what I understand from the research that I did on this, obviously it's completely fake. There is no such thing that really is able to counter effect the. You can't spray away radiation.
Nope.
Again, I'm not a scientist, so I couldn't tell you for sure.
No, I think the only thing it's radioactive isotopes. I think the only thing that diminishes it is time.
Time. And there you
That's it. That's it.
right.
But I also I if again if they had set up a something in the story where I'm like, oh yeah, I believe these people, they're ahead of the times, I would believe that. I would buy that line. But they haven't done anything to make me believe that they would
Right.
have that kind of technology. These people are meh, they're mid villains. Damn
Yeah,
it.
we know the only technology they have is a cool pop-up key. That's about it.
That's supposedly old, right?
Yes.
It's not even theirs. They have acquired it elsewhere, and it's at least a couple decades old. Yeah, it's silly. It's so silly.
And then John and Jack continue walking through the area. We see a lot of cobwebs. We see again, it looks really dark and dingy in this whole place. And then we get another shot of Irina looking at her little gadget, testing the amount of radiation, and we see that like really quickly the level of radiation goes down.
And we know why this happened, right? It's so they can take their helmets off and so they
Yes,
can
of course.
fight the good guys. So it's
Yes.
safe for everybody to run around. This is what you call a plot device.
That's right. And then we hear her say, "All clear. We can ditch the suits." Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm in a place like that, I'm keeping my suit on.
I'm sleeping in it for a week. Are you kidding me? Yes. No, I am not messing around with this. I do not need to grow another arm. Thank you very much. I'm good
And
to
then
go.
they take like 5 seconds watching her seductively taking off the mask. I'm surprised she didn't tousle her hair when she did it.
Know.
You know, because her hair stays perfect.
It's very Charlie's Angels. It is. And you're right. It's like it is almost like seductive. And she's a beautiful woman. It's so weird. It's so weird and out of
It's
place
very
and
weird.
unnecessary. Ugh.
And then once again, we're back with Jack and John, just strolling around. Looks like they're walking on the poolside. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Even though I
Yeah.
don't think that that's, I mean, there's water there, but I don't think it's a pool.
I have no. Oh no, it is a pool. It is a pool because there's little blocks at the end that are diving blocks.
Oh wow, you're right. It is a pool. Now I see what you're talking about. It's an old
Yep.
and decrepit pool, but yeah, it's a pool. Then they start walking up the steps. Again, let's be quiet.
We're hunting wabbits.
That's right. I was thinking the same thing.
Of course you were.
I really was.
I wasn't kidding. We have similar thoughts quite often.
Where's Elmer Fudd when you need him?
Hunting wabbits.
Apparently not. Hopefully not in Chernobyl. Not in Chernobyl.
True. I think he'd be fine, though. I think he would, being a cartoon and all.
Probably. And that's how this segment ends, with the two of them walking. We'll have to wait and see tomorrow what happens when they continue their little stroll through Chernobyl. So, Heather, did you have anything else you wanted to say about this particular segment or about the movie in general?
In this segment and in general, you were right, Rob. As we got into it deeper, I got
No.
more and more irritated with it, and I think I know why, because there's actual potential here. There's potential for this to be a good movie. Great, maybe not, but this has potential to be a solid movie if we didn't just put out draft one. And also just like these dead sequences. When you're building, like particularly right here, this is when tension should be at its highest. And
That's right.
there's none. There's absolutely none. There's no element of concern for the main characters. There's no real care about whether or not the bad guys are, first of all, we know they're not going to win. I don't even feel like they're that competent. The whole entire thing is just. I'm having too many thoughts that I should be too distracted to be having. That's another thing. When you're watching an action movie, if it's pacing well and you're invested in it, we might have all of these questions and big things in the background that we miss anyway. But the point is, we're too busy watching it and enjoying it So we miss some of those things. This
Completely.
movie, all it does is give us opportunities to see everything that is missing.
Yes.
And that's crazy. It's a diehard movie and it's an action movie. Those are
Right.
huge, huge fails. So yeah,
That's
I
right.
think I think after watching it, I'm mostly annoyed that I do see potential here for there to be a good movie, and it just feels like it was a paycheck.
It's true. Now I gotta say the best thing about this particular scene is right at the end. They actually, you if you pay attention, you can hear the Die Hard theme in the background. You know, the tension theme of Die Hard from the original Die Hard movie, and it was also used in Die Hard 2. So I like how they give us that little bit of a tease, but it's unfortunately just not enough.
No, it's too little too late. It
Yeah,
is cool,
completely.
but even that, it does kind of feel like an afterthought.
Well, again, they do that in the post production. So yeah, it probably was an afterthought.
Yeah. And again, not a bad one if the rest of the movie was better put together.
That's right.
I still had fun though. I still had fun. So
that's why we're doing this. We're doing this to still have fun. You know.
Indeed.
So okay, today's segment is a game called 6 Degrees of Bruce Willis. So I'm sure you're familiar with the idea of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. So we're doing a similar thing where you have to map out the connection between a particular actor and Bruce Willis. Okay, I will give you five different actors, and you have to map your way through them. Okay, so
I'm going to crash and burn, just so you know.
All right. I have more faith in you than you do.
Thank
so
you.
you're Your first one is Neve Campbell.
Neve Campbell. Okay.
Or Bruce Willis.
I'm thinking of her being in. I'll start. Scream. Now I'm stuck in Scream because. Obviously. So what would make that connection to get to? Okay, this is gonna make my brain explode. Okay, so Scream, Timothy Olyphant, last movie. Yes, 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 there we go. Ah!
Excellent.
Scream, Timothy Olyphant, I did it. I got one.
Excellent, excellent. There are actually two connections that I was able to get through Scream. So I got Neve Campbell was in Scream 2 with Timothy Olyphant, like you said, who is in Live Free or Die Hard, you know, the previous Die Hard movie that we did. And Neve Campbell was in Scream 3 with Kevin Smith, who was
oh,
in.
Oh yeah!
Yes. You see,
awesome.
I knew that giving you Neve Campbell would be great. You see, there you go. You see, you have to have more faith in yourself.
I don't trust my brain. It already goes off on side quests without my permission.
Okay, good, good. All right, your next one is Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston. Okay, so he was on a Friends episode.
Doesn't count. TV shows don't count.
I know. I'm starting. I need a starting point.
Well, that starting point doesn't help you.
I don't think of her movies very often because they suck. Well, I think they suck. I just don't like rom-coms. I'm trying to think of something that would connect her. She was in a movie with him, wasn't she?
No, not with Bruce
No?
Willis.
Not with Bruce Willis? See, I'm not, I'm drawing a big blank here because I'm just not as familiar with movies. I think she's, see, I'm sitting here going, oh, okay, she was in something with Paul Rudd. what else has she been in? What has she done? I don't like her movies. Her and Jennifer Lopez, I don't care about their movies.
Well, I'm glad Jennifer Lopez is not one of your other people that you have to do.
God, I can't think of any of her darn movies. I can't think of any of her movies other than, and I'm stuck on the Paul Rudd one. Picture Perfect. That was it. What else has she been in? She just does rom-coms, right? Oh, she did one with Vince Vaughn where they did not.
That was a rom-com. Yes, The Breakup.
The Breakup. Yeah, okay. Do I need to move away from that one? Please. I've seen a movie of hers, it'd probably be the late 90s, because I watched the rom-coms I've seen, I watched with my mom when I still lived with her. So what was another one that came out? But I might have seen whatever she was in then. Oh, wait a minute. Is it 12 Monkeys? No, she wasn't in 12 Monkeys, but
No,
I'm thinking
she was
about,
Madeline
she
Stowe.
was married to Brad Pitt, and that's why I thought of it. She's married to Brad Pitt, and Brad Pitt was in 12 Monkeys with him. That's why I went there.
Well,
See?
was she in any movie with Brad Pitt?
Was she?
That's what I'm asking. I actually right
I don't.
off the top of my head, I can't think of
I know
any,
that
but
he and
maybe.
Angelina Jolie did a movie together. I don't think the two of them did a movie together. Brad Pitt was also on Friends, but that does not count. No, okay. So that one does not work. All right. With she was in a movie with Mark Wahlberg, and it was in 1999, and I can't get off of that. I'm gonna freaking kick myself in the mouth because of that timeline too. I was watching all Mark Wahlberg movies. I really liked him. And now all I can think of is The Happening and Transformers movies. I
No,
know
no,
those
no,
aren't the
no.
ones. I'm just throwing shit at the wall right now, just like the movie we just talked about. Rockstar. Oh! I was working in the video store in college.
All right, your next one is Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick. Okay. He's married to Sarah Jessica Parker. He's been in 800 million movies. Ferris Bueller, Godzilla, War Games. Okay. Matthew Broderick, the producers? Uma? There's the Pulp Fiction one.
Okay, so Matthew Broderick was in The Producers with Uma Thurman, who was in Pulp Fiction with Bruce Willis.
Yep.
Another way that I found it was Matthew Broderick was in She's Having a Baby with Lily Taylor,
Oh, I
who was
remember
in
that.
Four Rooms with Bruce Willis.
Yeah, I remember that movie. Again, that was one that my mom watched and I didn't particularly like. Okay. All right. I'm not so mad at myself here. These are ones that.
Okay, your next one is Jennifer Grey.
Okay, she's only done so many things. Dirty Dancing to start. And who's in that? Patrick Swayze. Did Patrick Swayze and him ever do a movie? Jennifer Grey attacked a demi mortal because mortal thoughts. It would also be helpful if Bruce wasn't in so many movies, and there's so many good movies. I just keep going down rabbit holes. I think Jennifer Grey should start, or maybe Red Dawn. Maybe Red Dawn with Jennifer Grey. Who else is in that? Charlie Sheen. Also Patrick Swayze. And what's her face?
Leah Thompson, you're talking about?
Leah Thompson. Yeah. Swayze and I don't think so. Okay. I think I'm in the right movie, Red Dawn. Okay. Charlie Sheen. For Gray, because I know that that's Red Dawn, and I know I have an answer there, and I just can't find it yet. I'm really going for the 6 degrees. Charlie Sheen. Loaded Weapon. Oh,
Yeah,
cameo in it,
okay.
right?
They blew up his trailer. Jennifer Grey was in Red Dawn with both Charlie Sheen and Frank McRae, who were both in Loaded Weapon 1 with Bruce Willis.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Another connection with Jennifer Grey is Jennifer Grey was in Bounce with Ben Affleck, who was
Oh.
in Armageddon with Bruce Willis.
That's a movie that's lost and forgotten in my mind. I saw it when it first came out. I was still working at Blockbuster, and I haven't seen it since. I don't remember anything about it except the title.
Do you remember what it's about?
No. Well, it's something to do with didn't they like meet each other and like had missed something or another? Am I like onto anything? There's like it's something involving
No, he gives his
planes?
plane ticket. He gives
Planes.
his plane ticket to Gwyneth Paltrow's husband, and the plane crashes.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. I knew
And then he
planes.
falls in love with Gwyneth Paltrow and whatever.
Yeah, dumb.
Okay, and your final one is Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen is connected to also Charlie and also Emilio. And Martin's been in 800 things too. And right now I'm
That
thinking
should
of
make it
video
that much
games.
easier.
Okay, let me think. I'll go to the Departed. Alec Baldwin, Leo. Leo is connected to Travolta, who is connected to Pulp Fiction, and Travolta and him were in that. So Martin Sheen and him are all connected by 6 degrees there.
Okay.
That one works. Also, look who's talking. Travolta was also in that,
Yes.
which, but yeah, that one works though. The
Okay. It works.
Martin
It
Sheen
works.
Departed.
I got it there a little easier, but so
Tell
Martin
me how
Sheen
you
was
got
in.
it there then.
Okay, so Martin Sheen was in Wall Street with Saul Rubinek, who was in The
Yes.
Bonfire of the Vanities with Bruce Willis, and Martin Sheen was in JFK with Frank Wally, who was in Pulp Fiction with Bruce Willis.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't have gotten JFK. It's been a long time since I watched that. Okay, I got there though. I got there. Okay.
All right. Thank you for playing. I'm sorry that it was so painful for
It was so hard. It wasn't as painful as the movie, but you know, it's okay. It's
There
okay.
you go. All right. And for one final time, we will play State Your Motto. So your choice this for today is Arizona.
Oh, I have a
All
bunch of
right.
friends in Arizona.
So your choices are by valor and arms, God in riches, or equally before the law.
God in riches.
And you would be correct.
Ha! It was a guess, but I'll take it. Oh my goodness. It just felt good to be right about something.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, Heather, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Heather Baxendale?
You can find me at heatherbaxendale.com. You can find my books there. Check them out. They're a good time. You can find my podcast there, and you can find all of my social media there if you'd like to follow me.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. If you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. You can find me on Instagram, you can find me on Facebook, and you can find me on Twitter. So I will be back tomorrow with another guest who will have to endure another 5 minutes of this movie. But until then, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay for the last time.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Oh, they're red, white, and blue, yeah. But it ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no fortunate one.